I'm the sinister, Mr. Kiss, my ass is just a renegade. Never been afraid to say what's on my mind at any given time of day, cause I'm a renegade. Never been afraid to talk about anything,
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 anything.
Renegade.
Never been afraid to say what's on my mind at any given time of day, cause I'm a renegade.
Welcome to the T Podcast, the podcast about anything and everything from the perspective of one man, and that man is me, T, from good old Boston, Massachusetts. It is Tuesday, March 19th, 2019. How's everybody doing out there in the listening podcast land? I got a name for all you people that listen to the podcast. And I know people are listening besides just friends and family because I've been getting a lot of DMs and emails and messages and comments and ratings and reviews, and I appreciate it. I'm going to address you all pretty soon. I'm going to do in a couple weeks, T responds to the listeners' questions. And I appreciate everybody out there who's been listening. And those of you that enjoy it, whether it's just me on my own talking about life or referring back to what I've written in T-Blog, or just me making you laugh, entertaining you, thinking I'm fucking crazy, or if it's just myself when I'm with B-Lo and our dialogue, our repertoire, our rapport, keep on letting me know. You know what? Keep on sharing it. I appreciate the likes, you know, reposting it, sharing on your social media, telling friends, subscribing on iTunes, and going back to T-Blog and listening to it there. I'm trying to accommodate everyone. I think I'm starting to find my groove, finding my voice, get my opinions out there. It's been a pretty big transition from the written form to the verbal form. I know I'm a talker, but sometimes to articulate my thoughts and trying to keep it rougher and rugged, I'm trying to do what I did on T-Blog where I one-taked it, where I basically didn't go back, trying to minimize the editing, trying to get everything out there as best as I can. And I think the rawness and keeping it real in my writing style that I had on T-Blog is very helpful to that approach on the podcast. I want to make sure that I'm as honest and whatever comes to my head first shoots right out of my fucking mouth, no different than I used to just put it into, you know, pen to paper or keypad to the screen. So that's my approach. Today's podcast, I'm trying to keep as relevant as possible and getting everything that's topical on top of my life. My life, before I get into the actual topic, actually, is I've been just slammed with this moving shit. Moving one man, you know, one place where I bought all new furniture, but I still have a ton of stuff that I need to get rid of and things I need to pack up and do that. Moving in the next couple of weeks. When this podcast goes up, actually, I will have the keys to my new place. And over the next 2 weeks after that, I will be bringing things over there, and then my furniture will be arriving, and then it's the switching over the utilities. So I'm trying to record a bunch of podcasts in one swoop by myself, and then later on B-Lo, and to pretty much sustain the T-Podcast listening audience for the next 2 to 3 weeks. And then once I have my office all set up, I'll be sure to entertain the hell out of you, and that's when I plan on doing a lot more with the podcast, and a lot of nice things are coming, a lot of surprises, a lot of new flavors are coming to the T Podcast store, as I like to call it. Anyway, today's podcast, the listening podcast, is my take on Leaving Neverland. Now, not to be confused with the movie Finding Neverland, but Leaving Neverland is the two-part documentary that HBO had about Michael Jackson, where a lot of people had a lot of opinions about that recently. I don't know how to best approach this without offending people that are siding with the accusers and those that are fans of Michael Jackson. So I'm going to go from how I usually go from every topic is from my point of view, from my angle, my thoughts. Let me give you my history on Michael Jackson first, okay? I'm 41 years old. I'm going to be 42 this year. I was born in 1977. I was up and around, you could say, when the Jackson 5 was doing their thing. And then obviously Michael Jackson, when he dropped Thriller and Bad when I was a kid. So Thriller, Billie Jean, Beat It, no, everybody in the 80s, those 80s kids, everybody loved Michael Jackson. Everybody knew about the gold glove, the sunglasses, the little Jerry curl in his hair, and of course the Thriller jacket, his leather jacket. Then it went into his dance moves. Every little kid wanted a fucking moonwalk. You know, Michael Jackson was the man. And a lot of people had him as the greatest pop artist of all time, and you probably could state the case and reasons as to why, right? Me, I love Michael Jackson. I did. I want to say I loved him. I like Michael Jackson. I think there's two types of people in this world. There are Michael Jackson people and there are Prince people. I am a Prince person. I am a Prince guy. Purple Rain, to me, I love the movie. I think it's the all-time greatest album. Purple Rain, that song, is one of the greatest songs ever written, ever recorded, ever performed. And Prince died a few years back as well, just like Michael Jackson, who died in 2009. So we kind of lost a lot of people from that era, right? Prince is dead. Michael Jackson is dead. George Michael is dead. It's fucking sad. And for me, Prince, you know, with his love songs and his dancing and his approach to women and how he was feminine as well, but yet masculine, flamboyant, he was just an artist, a performer, and there really wasn't a controversy with him. Maybe some of his lyrics and his gyration on stage, that's about it. Michael, even back then, even as a little kid, then eventually as a teenager, before the actual case happened, back in, what was it, 2006, 2007, before he ended up dying in 2009, before somebody actually brought him up on charges for child molestation, there was something off about him, right? And even as a little kid, you could hear people talking to parents, and you'd see something with him dancing, and then you would see, like, his interviews and him on MTV, and the way he would talk, and he'd be like, oh, stop it, oh, stop it. Like, the way he was, it was odd, right? He was off. There was something off about him and his look, and then he started getting into all the procedures done in his face, and then he was trying to say that he had a skin disease, but he was bleaching himself, and with the hair and the nose fucking surgeries after surgery, and he just looked off. And his life was, he didn't have women around him. He wasn't dating. He always had little kids around him. And then he lived in an amusement park. You know, and little kids loved amusement parks. And he'd have a fucking monkey. Bubbles was his best friend. And I remember Captain EO, like at Disney World, where he just was so much a little kid, but he was a talented man, and there was just something off about him. But everybody, you know, let it go, right? Where all people said, well, he never had a childhood, where he had a tough upbringing, so he was just off. He wasn't harming anyone. He was only harming himself with those surgeries, but he would never harm a little kid. He was a little kid at heart because he never had a childhood because his dad, Joe Jackson, and his brothers and sisters, they were always performing. He never got to have a true childhood. And a lot of people, that was enough to believe that. I think a lot of people are just trying to do that to convince themselves, to convince the kids, right? Nobody ever said Michael Jackson was gay or did a little fucking kids. Nobody said that back then. Some people did, you know, maybe in the comfort of their own homes, they were judging Michael Jackson. Everybody fucking judges someone in the privacy of their own home. That's America. Whether you're right or wrong, that's fucking freedom of speech. You could have any opinion about anybody, whoever the fuck you want. And back then, it was Michael Jackson was off. There was something very weird about him. And as a kid, you just saw this too, and you couldn't figure it out. And then obviously, as you got older, and it's just like, what the fuck's going on with this guy? He's still dancing. He's still off. He's still weird. And then they had that whole thing in the late 90s where he appeared on the MTV Awards with Lisa Marie Presley, Elvis Presley's daughter. And he was just like, and they said this will never last. That's my Michael Jackson impression, by the way, if you didn't figure that out. And then he was trying to portray himself as a married man. And then even though he had all these little kids around him and Macaulay Culkin and all that weird shit, Macaulay Culkin, he was weird for years, right? I mean, Macaulay Culkin went to Home Alone, Home Alone 2, Richie Rich, disappeared for a little while. There was Michael Jackson's friend. He appeared in that video with him. And then for years, he dropped off the map where before he got Mila Kunis in her prime, which is a fucking goal and a half. I don't know how little Macaulay Culkin did that. He became like a meth head. And you would think that maybe something was done to him, some damage that made him like that. Besides just being a childhood actor, maybe Michael Jackson diddled him, even though he went on record that he didn't. I have an opinion like this before I even saw Leaving Neverland. Again, it's confused with the movie fucking Finding Neverland. Leaving Neverland, where the accusers, two of them came out. One was Wade Robinson, who was a choreographer, who ended up, rumor had at that time, that he ended up banging Britney Spears and caused the breakup between her and Justin Timberlake. That guy. I remember him from MTV. I always thought Michael Jackson was weird. I always thought he was off. I really didn't buy into the whole he didn't have a childhood, a normal childhood. I always thought it was weird he had kids around him. I always thought that maybe he would have been either a gay man or asexual. I thought he was definitely doing something with little kids. I always just say he did something with Macaulay Culkin because he was very weird, even though he stated that he didn't, and so did Corey Feldman. I think he maybe kept some people around him, little boys, so in case this ever happened, he would have people to testify saying, no, he never touched me, never diddled me. But then he had certain little boys aside that he did do that shit to. And I think Wade Robinson and that other kid, I forget his name from the fucking documentary of Leaving Neverland, were diddled amongst many more. I think he kept other people around to be advocates for him, to say he never did. I mean, what was going on in that house. Now, going to the documentary itself, in that fucking amusement park. And he must have paid his staff really well or made them sign non-disclosure agreements where they couldn't say anything or testify. I know some people tried before. When you watch Leaving Neverland, both parts, before you even hear the testimony of those two victims, he in Neverland, according to them, and just they show pictures of it too, he had rooms upon rooms upon hidden rooms upon hidden rooms and doors upon locked doors all over fucking Neverland. He had tons of fucking candy in there. He had rides. He had animals. It was built. If you took the worst child molester and gave them an unlimited amount of fucking money, an abundance of money, to build out the perfect place to lure little kids, little boys, they would build Neverland. And that's what Michael Jackson did. Now, Michael Jackson, and people say, you know, you got to separate the artist from the man. You can still like his songs, this and that. That's a different case because you can look all the way to the Renaissance era from the beginning of time. Most artists were fucked up. They did some fucked up shit and you still found a way to enjoy their plays, their musicals, their paintings, their sculptures, their songs, their performances, their acting, right? But you don't hear people right now trying to say separate Kevin Spacey, the actor, from the man, right? Or Weinstein from the fucking producer from the man. No, you don't do that. In this day and age, with the Me Too movement, everybody coming down on people, everybody finally having a voice, victims who never had the courage to do it before, people are coming forward. You can't separate the two. No different than R. Kelly. I don't want to listen to his music anymore. And mind you, I love fucking R. Kelly music back in the day. Even I turned a blind eye to the shit he was doing, supposedly with the little girls on fucking tapes, where I believe I can find all his music. It's like now I'm looking back after his documentary and now him getting arrested again. He's a piece of shit. And I can't put R. Kelly songs back into my rotation, in my playlist. I just can't do it. After watching Leaving Neverland, can I listen to a Michael Jackson song? I don't think so. Because when I was on the cusp, I couldn't really, you know, process thoughts as a kid when I knew something was off. I'm a grown man now. And after watching Leaving Neverland and hearing those two talk and describe what he went through, there is too much detail. There's too much time spent. There's too much testimony, not just from the victims of the two kids who are now grown men in their late 30s and early 40s, but also their families, their wives. It gets to the point where people wonder why are they coming forward now? Well, they can't get money off it. They can't sue the estate because the statute of limitations has passed. Are they just trying to get publicity? I don't think so. Because again, if you see all the details in the stories of what they go into, watch what they say. And what really hit home was their dads now. Wade Robinson's a father. And his wife is like, do I need to worry about you? Once he told her what happened finally, because he only did it a few years ago, she was like, do I need to worry about you around our son? You know, and that is like something where he's like, I got to come forward with this and share with the world. Even back then, I testified that he never did anything with me. And then they get into the details, right? And I'll spare you all the details because it's stomach turning. But they go into descriptive nights that they slept over where he separated. Michael separated those kids from their parents. Separated them from their older siblings, from their sisters. Got them alone. Got them in the movie theaters. Got them into bed. Got them to eat candy. Got them to take their clothes off. He would touch them. He would go down on them. He would fucking blow them. He would make them blow him. And they were little boys who didn't know what the fuck was going on. They thought it was love. And even as grown men now, you could see that they still love Michael Jackson, the man. And they are so fucked up from what happened. They didn't know any better as kids. They thought that they were supposed to. And Michael put it into their heads like, if you said anything, we're both going to go to jail. It's going to bring harm to both of us. So Wade Robinson, he would send him facts after facts to the family. The family bought into it. They, for some reason, again, it goes back into abducted in plain sight. How fucking naive and stupid are the fucking parents? They were blindsided by the fact that it was Michael Jackson. They saw the fame and the man, and they took to that. And they didn't give a fuck. They obviously could have seen, obviously, what he was doing with their sons. But no, he was giving them houses and trips, buying them clothes. And so they allow that to occur. Even though the kids weren't saying anything to the parents, they definitely should have known what was going on. So the parents themselves fucked up. They're not as guilty as Michael, but they're guilty to this too, that they allowed this to happen to their sons. The sons as little kids couldn't really fucking talk because they didn't know any better because their parents weren't saying anything because they didn't know what to do. They were around Michael Jackson. They thought it was love. They didn't feel bad about it. He made them seem like they were loved. The sex part, they were just confused by it. And then the other kid, Michael actually staged fake weddings with him, fake marriages. He had wedding rings, gold rings that this dude has to this day that he shows on the documentary that Mike would say, now we're married. That's how fucked up he was. And when you sit there and you hear their testimony and the description of every time they did it, and oh yeah, this room, yeah, we had sex in this room. Oh yeah, in this room, yeah, I went down on him in this room. Oh, in that room, he went down on me. This room was locked. It went here. That room was off to the side of the movie theater. We had fucking, you know, candy that night. It got worse and worse. And then as they got older, as they hit puberty, you know, he would upgrade to a younger boy. They would get replaced to the point where they feel like they weren't loved anymore. Like, oh, how come he's not taking us to the bedroom anymore? And slow but surely, he would phase them out. And then as they became, you know, teenagers, Wade Robinson said he tried something different because now he was becoming a man. He was getting bigger, almost Michael Jackson size, where Michael would make him watch porn. He watched pornography with both of them. But then he tried to have anal sex with Wade Robinson. And he didn't like it. It didn't work. And then he went as far as ask him the next day, what'd you do with your underwear? And he's like, what do you mean? He goes, if there's blood in your underwear, he's like, we're going to get in trouble, blah, blah, blah. Get rid of your underwear. So he kept on doing that. He was methodical of how he planned for that. You know, he was precise. So we got this innocent guy with the hee-hee-hee-hee and the dancing and the fucking animals, and he didn't have a childhood and putting on these great songs, these epic songs and these epic performances, and look at the way he danced, and we all ignored what could have been going on. Well, not anymore. If you were ever on the fence, if you really couldn't figure out your opinion, your take on Michael Jackson back then up until, you know, 2 months ago, watch Leave in Neverland. And even if you're the biggest Michael Jackson supporter, you can't deny what these kids are saying. You can't say that they're making up to be in the limelight because of what they went through, how damaged they are, especially that other one. Not so much Wade, but that other kid was so fucking damaged. And the way they talk and the way they describe things and they go through the stories and all these details and being dads now. And, you know, victims, you can't really understand the mind of a victim from molestation, how they went through that and how they had to process it and how it took years. And it took them becoming men or having kids of their own to finally come forward. Or, you know, they finally found not some peace, but Michael is dead. And now that he can't harm them, and even though he wasn't harming them anymore, he's not around anymore. And they felt compelled. You know, they finally had a forum to speak on it. And I honestly believe after watching that, Michael Jackson was a child molester. And he absolutely did that, not to just these two guys, but several kids. And again, to other victims too. The one case that he settled. And everybody's like, people forget. When Michael was went through that other trial, he settled out of court for like $10, $13 million. So it wasn't like he was found innocent. He settled with the other fucking kid. So to pay for that, and he was basically trying to say to people, they were talking about it on the documentary as well, that he said his lawyers told him it would cost more money to go through the trial even though he was innocent than settling with him. Bullshit. You were Michael Jackson. You had a fucking plethora of money. You absolutely, if you were innocent, you would have went through it. You were just afraid what was going to be said and what was going to come to light in this trial. So you paid that other victim off to settle that. And then Michael Jackson got hooked on his drugs. He couldn't sleep. Was doing that comeback tour, and that's when he ended up dying in his sleep. And then that allowed, you know, years later, 10 years later, to get this documentary going where these two guys came forward. And they even had, I didn't watch the Oprah Winfrey interview afterwards, but even Oprah, who was a victim too, as much as she was a supporter in the black community and Michael Jackson, she gave them another platform to talk. So, look, I've never been a big fan of Oprah, but if Oprah fucking Winfrey is pretty much positioned in this, saying that she believes that Michael Jackson was also a child molester, and then you see this documentary and all these people coming forward, and now the reaction is the people that are some supporting him still, but others are taking his music off of playlists, off of radio stations. They're taking his paraphernalia out of museums all over the world, out in Europe. I think we're going to see that now. Like I said, the Me Too movement, and a lot of people, victims coming forward, finding a place to finally actually get their stories out there. We're going to see more and more of this. I think more and more victims are encouraged to come forward, whether it's the stuff that's going on in Hollywood, the Me Too movement, R. Kelly victims, Michael Jackson, whether somebody that was raped or diddled or somehow molested by Kevin Spacey, anyone. People are now talking. I know we got to try to figure out which ones are just trying to get their names back into the news and trying to get jobs again or trying to become, you know, larger, where they faded out of the limelight for a while. I know that. And probably not half of these are never going to go to court, and we're never going to get, you know, to both sides or actually the actual truth. But I think now in 2018, 19, Actually, I think the whole Me Too movement was becoming more vocalized in 2018, 17. I think the last few years now, we have a place where victims now have a platform, whether it's social media or people interviewing them, they're going to come forward. And I'm not saying everybody is a victim, but some of these victims, when they tell their story, it's kind of hard not to believe them. And when you watch Leaving Neverland, you will, I believe, like I did, you will believe these two. And I think you would come to the conclusion, like I did, without a shadow of a doubt, that Michael Jackson was a child molester. And now we know a lot of people say, well, he's not here to defend himself and let the dead rest in peace. No, that's not always the case. You did what you did. You never did your time for it. You never paid for your crimes. So you actually paid people off, but you never paid for your crimes. And whether in life or in death, that shit, that karma always comes back around. And so if this is us living with Michael Jackson for 35, 40 years of this greatest pop artist of all time, now maybe his legacy after life in death is going to be Michael Jackson was a child molester, and more stories will probably come to light. And this is the world we live in now. So all whether they're a hero to you, or you idolize them, or you're a big fan, the biggest fan, this is something you just have to cross sometimes when it comes to our idols being struck down like this. Whether they're alive or dead, this is just the way it is now. And the victim should have a right to come forward and tell this side of the story. So that's my take on Leaving Neverland. You should watch it. I think now with the R. Kelly series, Abducted in Plain Sight, and Leaving Neverland, we're in this little run, this genre of these molestation stories. And it's crazy how they're becoming popular and something for people to watch. But it's given us insight as not being victims, or maybe we are victims and we can relate to it. But I'm seeing a big movement for that. So watch Leaving Neverland, and you will probably make a decision like I did about Michael Jackson. And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Where to find me? You could DM me on Instagram. People have been sending me, like I said earlier in the podcast, comments, messages. I will be answering them in the 2 more weeks. I promise you, we will leave the month of March and I will get to listeners finally, because I've been doing this now since September and I got to respond to you guys, and I will. Find me on Instagram, the_T_podcast, for all the podcast-related stuff, all my posts, all my quotes from the show, all my memes, and T-Blog, another Instagram account, T-B-L-A-W-G, for all my amazing travel picks, Boston picks, seasonal picks. I'm actually taking those picks and going to blow them up and put them all in my new place soon. I'm going to do a theme in every room. Yes, I am. But check them out. Some people like my pictures. Some people don't. What are you going to do? Twitter, T-Blog, all one word. Email me those comments. Give me your take on Leaving Neverland. I'll come back around and answer on the show. T@t-blog.com. The Facebook page is still up there. It's the T-Blog page. And of course, here on iTunes, in the place that started it all, T-Blog.com, every Tuesday and Thursday, the occasional Friday, will be permanent pretty soon after the move. I'll be doing 3 days a week with myself, with B-Lo, the Woodwife guests, regular guests, friends, interviews. There'll be some cool, funny bits coming your way. Stay tuned. And that's it. Until next time, always take it there.
Say what's on my mind at any given time of day, cause I'm a renegade. Never been afraid to holler about anything.